We read God's word together in Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 5, and we're reading from the beginning of the chapter. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? In the minds of many people, Christian faith, including the Bible, is obsessed with sin. And that's a very common perception of Christianity. It's obsessed with sin. As far as people are concerned, the Christian message is nothing but condemnation of sin and ungodliness. Christian faith, to many, is defined by what it's against, what it objects to, what it doesn't want to see in the world. And so the perception is that Christianity simply wrings out of life any joy that people might have. It's all negative. It's all about sin. It's all condemnation. I think that's a very common perception. Now, of course, we know, if we're honest, that in some ways, some of that perception is fed by things Christians say and do. At times we can understand why the world draws that conclusion about the Christian faith. But an honest study of what the Bible actually says, if we can get beyond what some Christians say and do, look at what the Bible says, it's clear that in fact the heart of the gospel, the heart of the Bible's message, is about the grace of God. It is not chiefly about sin, it is about grace. Of course, the two inevitably go together. But the message of God's word is not chiefly a negative one, but a very positive one about the grace of God in answer to human sin. And it's in Christ there's the answer to sin and to death. And we begin to see that spelled out in the latter part now of Romans 5. We're looking at verses 15 to 17. God's abundant provision of grace. God's abundant provision of grace. And we see here in these three verses, three contrasts that get us to the heart of what Christ does for sinners, for those who are fallen in Adam, who are under the reign of sin and death, as we all are. God's abundant provision of grace is spelled out in these three contrasts that Paul draws for us. First, we have trespass and gift. Trespass and gift. Paul spoke in verse 14, the end of our study last time, of Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. Adam was a pattern, or the word sometimes it's used as a type. He was a foreshadowing of the one to come. And as we thought last time, there is a reference to Christ. There is the dawning of the light of hope in the one to come. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam is a pattern of Christ. In a sense, there is a parallel between the two. Adam on the one hand, Christ on the other. And the comparison, the parallel, is that both of them have a representative function. Adam represented the whole human race. Christ represents all whom the Father gave him in eternity. And both are representatives, such that what each of them did, one action on the part of each of them, affects all of those whom they represent. It has implications for all of them. Those who are in Adam are affected by what Adam did. And those who are in Christ are affected by what Christ has done. They are both representatives. And Paul now expands on that thought. But as he does that, it is very significant that Paul stresses now the contrast between Adam and Christ and what each of them did and what that means for us. Now it is the contrast that's at the forefront of Paul's mind. Yes, Adam and Christ are the same because they're representatives. But now Paul stresses there is a tremendous contrast between Adam and Christ. He puts it at the beginning of verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. They're the same, only different. The gift is not like the trespass. Let's think of those two things. The trespass, first of all, the sin. And Paul is reminding us of the consequences of Adam's sin for us. As he writes here, if the many died by the trespass of the one man. And that's what we looked at last time. The one sin of Adam, our representative, implicates all of us. We're all sinners. We're all under the reign of death. As a result of Adam's violation of that covenant in Eden, now the whole human race is plunged into sin. As Paul wrote in verse 12, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And we only have to look around us, anywhere you choose in the world, and you'll see that that is the case. You'll see the sinfulness of the human race. You'll see death reigns everywhere. Even if you live out a peaceful life, you're never in a war situation, you never face violence, still at the end of it, death is waiting. And that's the lot of every human being. We are born and we live under the reign of sin and death. And there are no exceptions among the descendants of Adam. Paul speaks in verse 15 of the many who died. And it's the same as all men back in verse 12. It's the whole human race. So the trespass involves us all. We're under the reign of sin and death. But that's only half of the story. Because Paul then goes on to speak about the gift. He's looked at the trespass, but now he thinks of the gift. Do you see how he continues in verse 15? How much more? How much more? And our hearts should rise at those words. Here's the same pattern of argument he used earlier in verse 9 and verse 10. And Paul is saying here, judgment was a deserved consequence of sin. Indeed it was. But how much more is salvation for sinners the deserved consequence of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God? How much more? Yes, sin and death are terrible realities. But how much more real and powerful is the grace of God in Christ? How much more? Here is the hope and the light of the gospel. How much more, Paul says, did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Here we don't have drips and drops of hope. God's grace overflows to sinners. How much more? And we see the pattern. There was one man, Adam, and all of us. There's one man, Christ, and a multitude of saved sinners. In that, Adam and Christ are alike. And yet, how different. Look at the language Paul uses to describe what we have in Christ. There is grace. It is a gift. It overflows. It's the language of abundance. The saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ is full of the grace of God. Favor to the totally undeserving, to sinners, to the ungodly, to covenant breakers, to rebels. And that grace overflows, Paul tells us. It's all a gift. Salvation is a gift from start to finish. At no point in our Christian experience is there anything for which we can claim the credit, that we contributed to being saved. It is all of grace. It is all a gift. That was one of the great rediscoveries of the Reformation, that it was salvation by grace alone, not grace plus something, which is what the church had been teaching, but grace alone. Nothing added, nothing contributed by us, because we don't have anything to contribute. It's grace, it's gift, and it overflows. There is nothing dead sinners can contribute to the undoing of Adam's fatal legacy. Nothing. Paul tells us we're dead in our sins. But the one gloriously gracious act of the Lord Jesus Christ reverses the damage that Adam's sinful action has done. That's what Paul is telling us. The trespass has brought sin and death, but the gift of God in Jesus Christ brings a glorious salvation. It is a gift, and it overflows. It is not merely the bare minimum to get us by, but it's abundant, it is rich, it is full. It should rejoice our hearts to think of these things. How much more? And we should often think of that when we think of the sin in the world and the sin that remains in our own hearts. How much more does the grace of God address that plight and overflows and undoes the damage that Adam's disobedience has wrought? Trespass and gift. That's the first contrast as we think of God's abundant provision of grace. Then the second contrast that Paul gives us: condemnation and justification. Condemnation and justification. Now, Paul's still thinking of the contrast between Adam and Christ, and he's looking at it now from another angle. Verse 16, he writes, again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. It's not like the result of Adam's sin. And so Paul leads us to think first of condemnation, because that's what we receive as a result of the one man's sin. He says in verse 16, the judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. And that's the plight in which we find ourselves, under the condemnation of a holy God. If we go back to the account in Genesis, God had warned Adam, do not eat of the tree, and the day you eat of the tree, you will die. And you see the outworking of that threat in Genesis 3. God, as the judge, calls man before him to give account. He pronounces the sentence, and all the relationships of life are ruined. We saw that when we studied Genesis 3. The relationship to God, the relationship between husband and wife, the relationship even to the very ground in which they were living, all were damaged. And the only possible verdict, as God looked at Adam and his sin, the only possible verdict was guilty, condemnation. And all Adam's descendants are involved in that condemnation because they're all involved in that sin. And as the Bible tells us, we are sinners by nature and by practice. We are under the condemnation of the holy judge. That's why in Ephesians 2:3, Paul describes us, even those who later are saved, before conversion, he says, we were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest. None of us is any different. By nature, we're children of wrath. We're under the condemnation of God. That's one side of the contrast. That's what we receive because we're Adam's descendants, condemnation. But then Paul goes on, secondly, to think of justification. Here is what we have in Christ. He writes, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. And everything Paul is writing in these verses exalts God's grace. Again, it is a gift, and Paul is underlining it and stressing it. Here is God's provision of a Savior. And think of who the Savior was, his own Son. There is something of the cost of the gift. As Paul wrote back in verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, And it's there in Christ dying for ungodly people like us. There is nothing about salvation for which we can claim credit. It is all a gift. Praise the Lord it is, because we've nothing to pay if we're asked to. And do you see, as Paul reminds us, that Christ's work addresses many trespasses. The whole burden of our sin and our guilt, the guilt of a multitude of sinners, an innumerable multitude of sinners, was laid on the Lamb of God. Many trespasses. We can't begin to imagine the weight of sin that the Lord Jesus Christ carried in our place. We read in 1 Peter 2:24, He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. All the sins of all his people, they were laid upon Christ. And the contrast, the one sin of Adam and the many sins and trespasses of ours that were laid on Christ. There's the magnitude of the burden he carried for us, many trespasses. The wonderful thing is that not only does God's grace negate judgment and wipe it out, not only does it wipe out the judgment, it reverses the judgment. That's what Paul now is telling us. It is not simply that the work of Christ renders his people not guilty. That would be wonderful. But there's more. It renders us positively righteous in God's sight. And that's what justification is. We looked at it in the opening chapters of Romans. We are righteous in God's sight, not merely not guilty, but positively righteous with the very righteousness of Christ. God's grace in Christ undoes the effects of Adam's sin, overwhelmingly undoes, and establishes God's people righteous before the judge. That's a measure of the magnitude of his grace and his love. As one commentator on this verse has written, this is the miracle of miracles, utterly beyond human comprehension. You can't take it in that we who were condemned sinners before God are not simply declared not guilty, but sins forgiven. We are actually positively righteous with the very righteousness of Jesus in God's sight. If that is not a miracle, nothing is. Nothing is. It is amazing. The gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. God's grace in Christ provides the comprehensive answer to the sinner's plight, to our plight. We were condemned in Adam, but in Christ we are justified. We are righteous, all of grace as the gift of God. God's abundant provision of grace. There's the trespass and the gift. There's the condemnation and the justification. And finally, the third contrast, death and life. Death in Adam, life in Christ. What's the evidence that all who are in Adam are condemned and all who are in Christ are justified? What's the proof Well, on the one hand, death is the proof that all are condemned in Adam. And on the other hand, life is the proof that all who are in Christ are justified. And so Paul, in verse 17, turns to the contrast between death and life. Here again is God's abundant provision of grace. Death, on the one hand, well, we expect what he says, by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. We looked at that last week. And Paul has shown us how death entered the world when sin opened the door. And it's the lot of every human being. And we need to remember that death is an intruder. You will often read, even with some professing Christians, that death was just a natural thing. It was always the course that would be followed. But in fact, the scriptures tell us that death has no right to be here. Death is an intruder. Death is an alien who shouldn't be in this world. And the only reason it is here is because of sin, and it is a fallen world, fallen from the perfection in which God created it. But the reign of death is the evidence that every human being, ourselves included, stands condemned in the sight of a holy God. We don't need to wonder. Are we condemned? Yes, we are. The reality of death drives home the lesson. So in Adam, death is our lot. That's what we inherit from him. But again, it isn't the end of the story, because Paul then turns to what we have in Christ, and it is life. And again, you see what he writes, how much more. As if Paul is amazed, still, after all the years he was a Christian, still amazed at the greatness of the grace of God to sinners, how much more. The abundance of the grace of God we see in that it produces something that far outweighs the reign of death. Again, it is not just the minimum. It far outweighs the reign of death. Paul speaks of God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness. There's the fullness of the salvation that God gives us. Here's what he's already described. And then the result of what we have in Christ. We will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We will reign in life. We might expect Paul to have written that life reigns. Death reigns, so we think, well, Paul will say, life reigns, but he doesn't. He says, we will reign in life. Why does he do that? Is it significant? Yes, it is. Because Paul is telling us that the power of grace not only replaces death with life, but it makes those who belong to Christ kings. He makes us kings. It is not simply that life reigns, but we reign in life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was created as king in Eden, and he threw it away. Now in Christ, we are restored to being kings, to fulfill the command Adam was given to subdue the creation to the glory of God. We are kings in Christ. It's something we can hardly take in. It is so wonderful that rebels are now kings. Those who were dead are reigning in life through Christ Jesus. We have what Jesus calls in John 10:10, life in its fullness. Life in its fullness, not just biological life, but life in fellowship with God. That's what you and I were made for. We were made for fellowship with God, and in Christ, that's what we have. We reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The life that was lost in Adam is surpassed now by what we have in Christ, eternal life that cannot be lost. And we are kings in Christ to fulfill the mandate that the Creator gave Adam, and he failed. Now in Christ, we can do the work to the glory of God, and it will extend on into eternity forever and ever. In Adam there is death, but in Christ we reign in life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the immeasurable grace of God that doesn't just do the minimum to forgive our sin, but establishes us as righteous in God's sight and makes us kings where once we were condemned guilty sinners, called in Christ to do the work that Adam was given, the glory of our God, God's abundant provision of grace. And isn't it abundant? We'll spend eternity marveling at the abundance, and we still will not ever exhaust it. There'll always be more to think about. But haven't we got plenty now to get on with? We think of the trespass in Adam. We're sinners. But the gift of God is his own Son for our salvation. We think of the condemnation under which we stand, the condemnation of a holy God. But in Christ, we're justified. We're righteous. We think of the death that's ours in Adam, death physical and spiritual. But we think of the life we have in Christ. We will reign. How much more will we reign in life through the Lord Jesus Christ? It is an abundant provision of grace. Praise God for it. Adore God for it. And if you're not trusting in Christ for salvation today, do not delay. Here is God's answer to your sin and your lostness. And there is no other answer. There is no other answer. But what a glorious, rich, full, abundant answer there is in Christ. Abundance of grace.